From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Find him online at batescom.net. And then a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics. Along the way, we'll discuss the commodities in general with Ed Uss at Agriculture. Cultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, July corn at 742.5 on its close, up 15.5 cents. December, a settlement price at 702.5, up 12.5 cents. And July soybean settlement price at $16.99 and a quarter, up 1.5 cents. November, up 6.5 at 1533.5. And bean meal futures today at 407.10 were 80 cents lower. The bean oil on that contract lead option 81.19, 66 cents lower. July wheat up 53 at $10.93. For its settlement for the soft red, and the hard red July at $11.70, up 49 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished at $132.90, down 95 cents. The feeders were $1.90 lower at $171.97.5, and lean hogs in the July at $108.97.5, down $1.77.5. Crude oil down about 30 to 40 cents at $118.50 a gallon or a barrel, and the diesel fuel or heating oil at $4.36.4, up 8.3. Gasoline on the RBOB, 4.7 higher at $4.20.6 per gallon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. That's at batescom.net to talk about the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thank you so much for being with us. Can you recap today's trade for me to begin with?
Well, the headline news, of course, is the Russian war against Ukraine. It just continues and gets a little bit more intensified as we keep moving along and through here. I guess there were some photos circulating that Russia was targeting some of the main grain terminals that in Ukraine there. So that kind of suggests that, you know, how legitimate are they going to be allow grain come out of that region or not. Then, too, there was talk that Ukraine is going to reject or has rejected any ideas of even thinking about working with Russia on letting some grain come out of there. And that continues to back and forth and trying to do the blame game that NATO is responsible, the world's responsible for people around the world that need some grain. And it just continues to get old and continues to wear on the marketplace. And hopefully one of these days here we can put all this to rest, hopefully, because this is a bad deal and a lot of lives at stake. But moving forward, uncertainty of the grain coming out of there sent the wheat market sharply higher, and that in return pulled the rest of the grain complex a little higher with it. We're seeing a situation where we're starting to enter the weather market here in the U.S., favorable conditions over the next week, but you go 2 weeks out, we're seeing a situation where the moisture could be on the light side. Also, weather-wise, world round, Europe's received, the French wheat received a little bit of moisture, but they're expected to, in France, they're receive a little less rain. This afternoon, we'll have another round of weekly reports. Corn progress expected to show 93% of the corn crop in the ground. Corn conditions, the first corn condition drain, the average trade guess is 68% good to excellent as a nation. 60% to 76% is the range. I know locally here, I think we'll be looking at 70% plus. The corn looks pretty good. Bean-wise, 80% of the beans expected to be in the ground. Wheat-wise, 86% of the wheat, spring wheat in the ground. Wheat harvest, 6% complete. That'd be our first estimates there. And of course, wheat conditions, 30% good to excellent versus 29% last week there, Todd.
What are you watching on the demand side of the function, and how is it moving for exports and livestock feed and such?
Mike Zuzla will have all the answers Friday afternoon after we see the monthly.
After we get the WASDE report?
I'm going to defer that to our expert on Friday there, but that's a tough one because they've got their work cut out trying to project demand and so forth. That's a moving target. The yield-wise, I don't know if we'll see a whole lot of adjusting here in the U.S. just yet, and production-wise, South America, of course, big declines there. I continue to believe the theme or the theory is, and I've used some extreme examples, you could have ample supplies around the world, but the theme continues to be food security, and there needs to be a category of available stocks. Our end users or country is going to part with some inventory or not. That's going to be the key, how readily freely this grain is going to move around the world. If not, just here in the U.S. too. They're talking to guys that visit with elevators on a daily basis. I know here in the central part, we're hearing that some of these elevators will be out of the beans by the end of the month. Now, the question will be, will the processors take some downtime between then and when harvest starts up again? So we're going to see a lot, hear a lot of that news here, and a lot of pent-up or spot demand. If you still have some old crop inventory to move, there's going to be some real rich bids there to take advantage of. So keep an eye out for that.
So they're still lifting under the market, at least from the fundamental side. And demand, of course, as you mentioned, we'll know more about that when we talk to Mr. Zuzlo on Friday afternoon, because the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, is due out Friday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. What else have you been watching closely, if anything, in the marketplace?
Well, as far as the grain complex, we're in a yo-yo situation. And a year ago, the corn market moved sharply up, sharply down, over $1.50 move. So we'll see if that materializes. On the livestock sector here, with higher grain prices, we're seeing some lower livestock values, a little bit of slowdown in demand in through here. We'll see how this summer cookout features takes place here as we move forward. Continue to watch those ribeyes on sale. I think you need to load up the refrigerator or freezer on those. Then lastly here, 78 years ago today was D-Day. So for all those history buffs or ones who support the red, white, and blue, keep that in the back of your mind.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it much.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can find him online at batescom.net. That's Bates, C-O-M-M.net. Joins us each and every Monday, and he is correct that on Friday of this week, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or the WASDE report, that at 11 a.m. Central Time. Those numbers will be up on our website and on my Twitter account at about that same time. We put them up as quickly as we can get through them. So again, you'll find those on our website at willag.org, willag.org, on Friday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Ed Ussett, University of Minnesota Extension Agricultural Economist. Hi, Ed. Thank you for being with us today to talk about the commodity markets for a little bit. On Monday, we have a bounce in the wheat market. Last week, it was all about, hey, maybe they'll open a corridor up out of Ukraine, and that made the wheat market plummet pretty quickly. Is this more than a bounce, do you think, for the wheat market?
I think the wheat market, more than anything else, more than any other grain, is being dictated by events in Russia and Ukraine in particular. And can they export? Can they not export? How will the grain get out of there? Article in today's Wall Street Journal on Ukraine and a good one. I suggest anyone who can get a hold of that, take a look at it. You'll have a better understanding of the problem. I also note that someone announced that Russia would export a record amount of wheat this year. They're going to fill some of that gap with the havoc they're causing in Ukraine. So the wheat market, I think, is driven by what's going on there, because Russia and Ukraine are such major wheat exporters, and to the extent that this disrupts the wheat trade. But here at home, and as we think about corn and soybeans, I think you keep an eye on the weather in the Corn Belt, and right now it's pretty good.
Yeah, and as we talk, there's a little rainfall here in east central Illinois, and the crops, corn and soybeans in the field look really good here, I suppose. A weather market can develop, but a weather market can simply be, it's a normal kind of year. I'm wondering whether corn and soybeans can be separated at the CME Group from what's happening in wheat.
I think they can. I think they can go that they're not going to completely separate, and that they will. Wheat always respects corn and vice versa, and corn and soybeans are tied together, if you will, at the hip. They can't completely separate, but they can go. You know, it's possible to have a strong wheat market and corn and soybeans at this point in particular on the defensive as long as the weather stays good. And by the way, the one trouble spot remaining in the Corn Belt is in the Northern Plains, and in particular, the northwest part of my home state, Minnesota, way behind on planting, as is the eastern half or eastern third of North Dakota, too wet. But you know what, Todd? I looked at the over the weekend, it was clear the whole time, and I gotta believe, and I don't even know if it'll show up in this week's planting progress report, because I think what comes out today reflects where we were on Friday. And we had a great weekend. I gotta believe a lot got done in the last 2 days in those areas where the crop needed to get in the ground.
Well, if we can get that part of the growing area planted, a lot of spring wheat, I don't know whether that'll still be planted in that northwestern corner of Minnesota or not. You'd have to tell me.
Oh, no, you've got a lot of corn and soybeans, just as much corn and soybeans as wheat. Absolutely. That's been the story in, frankly, in North Dakota and South Dakota, too, is wheat has been, is being gradually, I don't even know if the term gradually applies, it's being replaced by corn and soybeans, and that's been going on for 30 years. So all three of them. There are as many corn and soybean acres as there are wheat acres in the Dakotas.
Speaking of acreage, do you have an estimate for the June 30 number yet?
Oh, boy. I let people who agonize over those things think about it. I don't have a sense, gut feeling one way or another. But the nice thing about that, Todd, is I'll be surprised whatever happens.
You have a relatively hard and fast rule on corn that says thou shalt not carry corn into July. Is that still the case this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the, I call that the 11th commandment of grain marketing. Thou shalt not hold corn or soybeans beyond the end of June or July 1. Your bin should be empty. Or if not empty, the grain should be priced. And the data on that is almost overwhelming. In fact, I'm going to write an article for Farm Futures today on one of my favorite characters, Hank Holder, who consistently holds grain too long. And even though Hank will have a good year once out of every 5-6 years, in fact, he can have a great year. Think of a drought year like 2012, or even last year when we rallied all through the year into harvest. You can think of the exception. But long term, it's costing Hank almost a dollar a bushel in soybeans to hold them from early summer, late spring to harvest. And corn, I think it's a 45 or 50 cent per bushel issue, average over 30 years. So you can point to the few times when Hank wins the deal, but boy, if you look at the sum total of 30 some years of data, you don't want to go there. You just don't want to go there.
Hank hits a few home runs, but every year everybody can guess which years those are, and they're pretty far in between, and he doesn't have that good an average otherwise, apparently.
No, he does hit home runs, but he strikes out much, much more often, and his batting average is poor.
Turn your attention to the export market and usage for corn in the United States, soybeans for that matter as well. Are you of the mind that those will stay good and the demand can stay strong?
I've been thinking about this. Now, again, I don't track. I'm not tracking week-to-week export movements. What is on my mind, though, is we're at very high prices, and high prices have a tendency to ration things. So I've got my ears perked up looking for evidence that something on the demand side is slowing. Haven't really seen it yet. But I'm looking for evidence of that.
What do you think it will be first?
I would think it would be the corn market. You know, I'm always thinking corn is, you know, it's a feed grain primarily, although here in the U.S. it's energy too, which is helping it. But as a feed grain, corn has many, many substitutes. You know, we'll feed anything if things get tough enough. So I would expect, you know, if we were going to see demand erosion, I would look first at the corn market. I have to say, I haven't seen it yet.
Hey, thank you. Anything else before I let you go?
Crops look good here in Minnesota too, Todd. I think things are off to a good start, and June and July make the corn and bean makes the corn market. July and August makes the bean market, and I know we're only 6 days into June, but it looks good right now.
Ed Usset is an extension agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can find him again online at willag.org, willag.org. Look for him in the Closing Market Report, or just ask Google or Apple or any other podcast application to search out that program. Time to check the weather forecast on this Monday. Mark Russo is here from Everstream Analytics. Thanks for being with us, Mark. Can you start in the Northern Plains and the northwestern part of the Corn Belt? They have a lot of crops to get in the ground and to try to catch up. How have things been going there, and what can they expect over the next week or so?
Yeah, well, certainly across the Northern Plains, we've seen drier conditions in recent days, as well as some warmer temperatures. In fact, this is the longest stretch of dry weather in the Northern Plains this spring, and should have resulted in basically rapid planting progress of crops there. And coming up here, basically the stretch now of dry weather, which has been in place for the past 5-6 days, that is coming to an end, as this week looks to be on the unsettled side and just turning more active. So now it's a matter of, you know, how much was accomplished in planting this past week.
Tell me about rainfall apart across those areas and the full of the Corn Belt. And then temperatures have been expected to be a little bit cooler than normal, I think. Can you talk about that too?
Yeah, first off, in terms of rainfall prospects, again, in the net here for this week, much of the Midwest, you know, including the northwestern belt there, tied to the Northern Plains, and then even down south, it is a bit of an active week. So we're expecting, you know, higher coverage, moderate to, in some cases, heavy rainfall, nothing that looks excessive, but all in all, it's more active week here setting up across the vast majority of the Corn Belt. And then also from a temperature standpoint, we are going to have a general cooler bias here, especially coming up late this week and over the weekend. However, that does look short-lived as temperatures look to climb back to normal, even slightly warmer than normal levels by the early to middle portion of next week. So a lot of variability, little cooler bias here in the short term, but obviously not as anomalously cool as some of the time frames that we saw back earlier during the spring.
Over the recent days, last week in particular, there was a lot of concern about the number of hurricanes that might be spawned in the Atlantic, I think, maybe even in the Pacific. There was one that did make its way across Florida as a tropical storm, I think, at that time. Can you tell me what your take is on the hurricane season for this year and what it might mean for the Midwest, if anything?
Yeah, sure, Todd. We are expecting an active hurricane season in the Atlantic Basin. So we are expecting an above normal number of hurricanes and tropical storms and what we call accumulated cyclone energy, which we think is the best metric here for how active or inactive a season is for the basin as a whole. And so with a more active pattern or season expected, that does increase the risk of landfalling systems here for the Gulf Coast and the East Coast. Now, for the Midwest in particular, the tropics can play a role, but at this stage of the season, it's too early to really make that call, what kind of influence it'll have here. At times we can see, active seasons here result in, numerous systems impacting the Delta or the Gulf Coast or East Coast, and then the Midwest goes on the drier side. Other times, some of those systems then, can eventually work their way into the Midwest and actually produce some needed rain. And so it's too early to make that call now, but it's definitely going to be a player in the pattern as we go, especially into the heart of the season, later August and into September, the heart of the hurricane season.
What's playing the primary role in this next set of rainfall? I think over the last several months, the westerlies have just been westerlies and not much of a trough. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we're still seeing more kind of troughing and a kind of a general west to east type of jet stream flow pattern here across the central U.S. The main ridging of high pressure has been aligned across the southwest in the areas of the desert southwest, California. At times, it's worked its way into the southern plains. And so for the next week to 10 days, it's going to be kind of that similar type of pattern with, again, more troughing and kind of cooler air flowing into the Midwest rather than seeing any distinct ridging of high pressure. There are pretty strong indications that ridge does begin to move towards the Midwest after the next 10 days for later in the month. But for the time being, the more troughing of low pressure and rain activity and a lack of heat is expected here through mid-month.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. The theme music for our program today was written and performed by Logan County, Illinois farmer, and my brother Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.